It's such a joy this morning, as I was standing at the back of the building, I had several of my dear brothers in Christ come up to me and tell me that that is the best sermon they have ever heard me preach. I didn't preach this morning. And then to top it all off, my dear brother Chris Gregory, who I love so much, who is absent this morning, who's shaking his head no, decided he would come up to me as soon as he got here. And said that was the best sermon that I've preached as well. So they're all in it together on me here at Greenwood, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Love this group of people. So as I was sitting listening to Brother Ben this morning talk about a lot of thoughts that I've been thinking about for the last probably 2 years, and the wisdom and insight of the elders to set every Sunday morning to a certain topic, I couldn't help but to be drawn to some thoughts this evening. This year is going to close out. We'll probably all joke around and say it tonight as we're departing. See you next year. We'll all laugh about that and have a good time. But in reality, this year is going to end. A new year is going to set in. And for many of us, as I talked just a couple of weeks ago, we set these things called resolutions. You know, we sit down and we contemplate, might be weight, might be a new job, it might be learning more. There's a whole host of things, probably vary quite a bit from each of us this evening. And I talked about some of these ideas not long ago, but I really want to get maybe a little bit more in depth with these. And then next year, these topics will come back up again. And my hope and desire is with a lesson like this and going back and looking at some of the thoughts maybe we have in the last little while is to give us three things to work on in this next new year. Three things that go along with the topic of giving our whole heart to God and giving our whole life to God and being motivated with action. These will fit very nicely in with that thought from this morning that Brother Ben shared with us. And I am a firm believer that if we excel in these three things, not only will we grow as a Christian, but we will grow together as a local congregation closer than we've ever been. And without a shadow of a doubt, there will be many baptisms next year. How many of you want all those things to happen? To grow as a Christian, to grow closer as a group, and have a lot more baptisms. How many of you want that here at Greenwood? Appreciate you waving at me back there, brother. We want these things to happen, don't we? Now, it's kind of like being a Christian. We can say all day long, we want to go to heaven. If I ask the question, how many of us want to go to heaven? I know the same people that waved at me just a second ago are going to raise their hand. They're going to wave their hand. We want to go to heaven. The question is, not that we can earn heaven, but what are we going to do to make our call and election sure when that time comes? Do you see that? Do you see the parallel with these two thoughts here? We can say one thing, but yet do something completely different. Or we can say something and follow through with it. And that's what I'm hoping that we will commit ourselves to do when it comes to these three aspects. And again, I want to challenge you. Without a shadow of a doubt, as 2018 closes, if you commit yourself to excelling in these three things, these three simple things, if you excel in nothing else but these three things, I guarantee you, you will grow as a Christian. We as a collective body will grow closer to each other. And I'll tell you, there'll be a lot of baptisms, a lot of studies that will need to take place. Are you ready? Let's study together this evening. The first point is that we resolve to draw nearer to Christ and God. Now, I want to say, at the end of 2018, as we look back and we think about these three things, and something will be very crystal clear to us. If we've done these things, these three things, not hard things, just three things, we'll look back and we'll say, you know what? It took effort, a lot of effort to excel in these three things, but it wasn't impossible. And we'll look back and we'll see the great rewards of committing ourselves as an individual to these three things. Not a shadow of a doubt. I'm not a prophet. I'm not Jesus Christ. But I do know what the Word has to say on these subjects here. So let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's begin there. In Hebrews chapter 4, let's back up and begin in verse 11. Let's start there tonight. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Let us, key words there. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful. The scriptures are living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. What did we talk about this morning? Of the heart. Remember Brother Ben talked about that this morning. For the word of God is living and powerful. You know, it's interesting. Keep your place there. We're going to come back and talk about this. I want to read just a very quick verse that probably many of us have memorized. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Keep your place in Hebrews chapter 4 because we're going to turn back there right after we read this. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? What is it? It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. Did you see some parallels and some wording between these two verses in Romans chapter 1 and this one in Hebrews chapter 4? Did you catch something there? It talks about God's word being powerful and alive. It's powerful and alive. This word of God is not a dead word. It is alive and it thrives through us. But I'm here to say, as we can read and some other scriptures that we won't turn to, God desires for us to grow, but yet some of us are content with still feeding on the milk. Although as time goes on, we should be growing and thriving as Christians and get to the point where we're able to be able to feed on the meat of the Word, some of us are content with sipping on the milk. Is there anything wrong with that? Yes, there's a whole lot wrong with that. And that's pointed out in scriptures. God expects us to grow. And if we commit ourselves to God's word, this living and powerful word that can do so much for us, if we but just read it. I've said this before. Don't just read, but read to understand. I want to retract a little bit of that. Read God's word. Just reading it is valuable for you. Now, hopefully, as we're just reading, we also look to find the intent of what we're reading. Look to find what's in that section of scriptures that we can chew on. But read God's word daily. Daily. Let me ask you a question. How many of you actually have time set aside in the day to sit down and read God's word? You know, I'm not going to ask for us to be honest and open with everybody here, but if you're like me, I don't have a certain time set aside in the day where I say, okay, from this time to this time, I'm going to read God's Word. I know one of the things I want to change in this next year is to do that, to have certain slots, times that are set where I am with God in His Word. And I'm telling you, if all of us do that, if all of us lock time out each and every day, not once a week, not once a month, but each and every day to sit down and study God's Word, I'm telling you, we will grow inwardly as an individual towards God. Now, I'm here to say there's lots of Bible studies that go on in a week. Holiday season has kind of set in, and we haven't been able to have all those Bible studies. But I'm telling you, if you open your eyes and look around, there's studies that are available. I know one of the things I'm going to try to do this new year is set one day a month where I'm over here at the building. I'm going to pick a subject, and anybody in that day that wants to come and study with me on that subject, we're going to do that. That's just one way. I know there's some of you that have flexible schedules. Maybe we can do it together. Maybe there can be accountability on both parts. But studying God's Word will benefit us greatly. We might say, duh, we're Christians. We know that. How many of you in a day have time allotted for God and His Word? Maybe it will scare you to look in the mirror. Maybe we don't study as much as we do. And I'm not saying study to prepare yourself for a Bible study, for Sunday school Bible study, or Wednesday night. Your own specific study, a subject that you are studying for and for you alone. How many of you have that lauded in a day? We need it. We need it if we're going to grow. I know one of the things that I would really like to do, this next year is grow in my understanding of the Old Testament. That's one thing that I really want to challenge myself over this next year. And so you're going to see a lot more lessons in the Old Testament this year as well. The more I study in the Old Testament, the more I'm going to want to preach out of the Old Testament. And so I'm preparing you ahead of time. Set your study slots to pick an Old Testament verse and study it and study it to understand what's in it. You know, I like what Romans chapter 15 has to say. Turn with me over there. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 4. I've got it halfway done there. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comforts of the Scripture might have what? Hope. It says hope, doesn't it? That we might have hope. It goes on to say in verse 5 of that same chapter, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Jesus Christ. This idea of this like-mindedness, according to one another. We find that rippled all throughout Scriptures. And it's of vital importance for our well-being as a Christian to understand this, that we need each other. We need to be able to rely on each other. And so often the case is in this world, we can't count on hardly anybody, can we? But it just should not be that way for us as Christians. Again, verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That should be all our desire as we live on this side of eternity. Verse 4, I want to go back to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Whatever things were written before were written for what? Our learning. The Old Testament is a benefit to us. I know us younger preachers, and I count myself 40 and under, to be younger preachers, we seem to want to move away from the importance of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is of vital importance to us. Matter of fact, there are some scriptures in the New Testament. I won't say it'll be impossible, but it's very, very, very hard for us to understand of the just of the New Testament if we don't understand the Old Testament. One of those books is Hebrews. It's hard for us to understand what the Hebrew writer is getting across if we can't understand the Old Testament. And so I would challenge you, as you lot this time set aside to study God's Word, that you include in it the Old Testament as well. I like what 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's turn over there. It was read for us just a second ago. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 14 and 15. We talked a little bit about this in our adult study this morning as Paul is talking and encouraging young Timothy in this letter. He simply and eloquently says this, that you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Again, this idea, Paul, as he would write to collective bodies, he would encourage them to grow and to thrive. Whether he was speaking to a group or an individual like young Timothy, the importance of taking in what you've learned and growing it, spending time with it, meditating upon it, allowing it to affect our lives in a positive way. He goes on to say this in verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I like what verse 16 says. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God's breath upon us. It's as if, as we read Scriptures, it's as if God is before us, talking with us, encouraging us to do what is right. How many times have you sat down with God's Word and looked at it as that? As God speaking to you, because that's what the Scriptures are. It's God speaking His mind to us. I'll tell you, if we understand that, it makes our Bible study a little bit more intimate, doesn't it? It's not just a book that we read that is good for us, like a self-help book that we pull off the shelf at the library. But this is our God, the God who created all things, who sustains and holds all things together. He is communicating with you. Now, that doesn't stop you to cause you to stop and think about how awesome God is that He would allow us to have His mind revealed to us, that you can sit at your home and read the mind of God. I'm not sure anything can. God loves us that much. He desires us to know His mind. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we spend time drawing closer to God, drawing closer to Christ in His Word. The second part of that is, be devoted to reading daily God's Word. But the second point in drawing near to God and drawing near to Christ would be diligent in our prayer life. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are truly diligent in your prayer life? Now, I'm an advocate. I don't believe you have to have your eyes closed and your heads bowed in order to say a prayer. I say many prayers in a day. Some of them I'm driving down the road. And I'll say a prayer. It might be a verbal prayer. It might be in my head. But I'm able to pray like that. But there is something to be said with our heads down low and our eyes shut as we address the Almighty God. How many of you have time allotted in your day to do just that? To close your eyes, to close your mind to worldly things, and truly and completely meditate and pray and communicate with your God who created you, who knows you best. How many of you do that? If you're like me, you know that you could be doing a lot more of it. Can I challenge you to do something this next year? Pick three times in the day, where you spend 5 minutes each time with your God alone, with your eyes closed and your head bowed down. And I don't mean for supper. I don't mean for breakfast and lunch. Some of you might say, well, I already do that three times a day. Apart from the things that you normally do, challenge yourself to grow in your prayer life, in your thanksgiving towards God. Three times, I challenge you, let's do this together as a collective body. Find three times, set those times, let nothing interfere with those times where you are alone with God. Whether it be as soon as you wake up in the morning, take that 5 minutes. As soon as you open your eyes and you're ready to go, go wash your face, spend five minutes with God. Maybe just before you go to bed. Those are probably the most convenient times that all of us, I know, can find 5 minutes to take alone with God. Do that. Maybe you already do that. Great, find three other times. Grow your prayer life this year. I'm telling you, if we grow in our appreciation of God, we will be blessed when this 2018 year closes out. You will be better for it as an individual Christian, and I'll tell you, we will collectively be better for it as well. Second point, I talked about this just recently. Our second point, resolve to become closer with your brethren. Turn over to 3 John for just a second. Resolve to be closer with your brethren. In 3 John verse 26, you still looking for it? There's not 26 verses, is there? I want to add to that in a couple weeks from now. I'm going to bring that analogy back up. In 3 John, verse 14, it says this, "But I hope to see you shortly,
that we may speak face to face. Peace to you, our friends. Greet you. Greet my friends by name. You love that? I love that. There are some brethren in this group. I won't mention a whole lot of names. Matter of fact, I won't mention any names. There are a few brethren that I long to see when we have set times here to worship with. I look for them. Some of those are not regular attendees at every service. And it hurts because I look for them. I look for them for many reasons. One, because they're a source of encouragement to me, but I also long to encourage them. And so I look for them. And I know the routine. I know the routine might not be to be here at every service, but that doesn't affect me from calling them, finding out if they're okay. I long to be with them. I long to receive encouragement and give them encouragement. I like the verse that Brother Todd, not long ago, if you remember, there was a period. It was a dark period for me. I was struggling with a lot of different challenges in my life. And if you remember, I read for a while Psalm 122, the text that Brother Todd read for us just a second ago. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, because that wasn't always the case. But I kept telling myself, the problem is not the brethren, the problem is you, Neil. And if you are coming in an unhappy way, it's you. And change your perspective. And I'll tell you, I kept reading that and kept reading that and kept reading that. And finally, one service, it hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, sometimes we have to talk some sense into ourselves, don't we? We have to convince ourselves that things aren't as bad as they appear to be. And when it comes to worshiping together, that should always be a joyous occasion, no matter what we're struggling with on an individual basis. Because we are here, we are together with people that think like us, that believe like us, that have faith in God like us. And so when we come together, it should be a joyous occasion for us. And I like the way the wording of 3 John in verse 14, how it's written for us. I hope to see you shortly. I hope to see you shortly. Can we confidently say that about our brethren here? Can you confidently, as you sit in your seats, can you confidently say when Monday hits us, I cannot wait till Wednesday? And when we get through Wednesday and we have our pick-me-up, as Brother Kanan says, and Thursday hits us, do we confidently say and most assuredly and with the utmost sincerity say, I cannot wait till Sunday? Let me tell you, if that is you, and if we are in accord, because that's how I am, if we are in accord with that thought, why wait till Wednesday? Why wait for Sunday? Why does that have to be the norm in our life when we are together as Christians? Grow our relationships with each other. You know, I know Brother Todd, I'm going to hit him up before too long. Brother Ben's retired now. We're going to go up and we're going to eat at Wendy's and spend some time together. We're going to meet Brother Todd for lunch because he can get away for that. But why have I waited so long to do that? You see, we all need to improve in this aspect of resolving to become more closer with our brethren. Let's not be just content with Sunday and Wednesday. Let's strive for more. Let's grow our relationships. We know that as 2018 opens up, every Sunday we will be together, Lord willing. If the creeks don't rise, as we used to say. We will be together on Wednesday. But why be satisfied with just that as brethren? Let's grow our relationships. I'm telling you, if we grow our relationships with each other, why wait? Why wait to grow our relationships with each other? Why do that? Let's grow it. Let's commit to growing as an individual. Let's allow our brethren to encourage us. Maybe they aren't the ones reaching out and setting a time for us to get together. What's wrong with us making a phone call and say, hey, can we get together? I want to spend time with you. Maybe it reverts back to the first point we talked about just a second ago by maybe having a Bible study with each other. Maybe it's just meeting at Wendy's with each other. But the point is, we are together. And I'll tell you, when we get together outside of worship services, we really get to know each other. We get to know the struggles that we are going through. You can appreciate where I'm at. I can appreciate where you're at. But unless that happens, there's no possible way for us to truly get to know each other and grow our relationships with each other. We can say all day long we love each other, but we don't know each other. And saying you know somebody because somebody else told you what's going on in that person's life doesn't mean that you know that person. Remember the text we read just a second ago? The whole idea of I hope to see you shortly and we shall speak face to face. That's important for us as Christians. I believe that's one of the reasons why us as Christians scratch our heads today and say, why are we not having more conversions? Why are there not more people being baptized? Why is the norm for us to show up at services and we heat and spend money to keep the baptistry warm, but the cover stays on? Why has that become the norm for us? Maybe it goes back to this point here. We don't long to be face-to-face with each other. We don't look for opportunities to be face-to-face with each other. And I'm telling you, I'm pointing the finger at myself. Why don't we have an occasion tonight where we're together as brethren? That's my fault. I'm going to look at you and point at my fingers at you and say it's your fault for not doing it. That's my fault. Here's an occasion we could be together. Special occasion. Bringing the new year together. Why didn't I think of that? Maybe it's because I've become self-absorbed with my life. Maybe I'm thinking too much about myself and my family and not enough about the family here at Greenwood. Let's not be and accept the norm where text messages and phone calls is all that is needed. More is needed. We commit ourselves to growing our relationships towards each other. We're going to grow as an individual, and we're going to grow collectively as one unit here at Greenwood. So let me set a challenge for you this new year. Find something, someone different, a family in this local congregation, and invite one family over every month. Pick the day. Pick the day. I know the Tremblets. We are going to commit ourselves to this. We're going to pick one family. That's 12 families that we're going to, metric system, make sure I get this, 10 plus 2, 12, right? 12 months. That's what we're going to set our minds to do. 12 families are going to be in our home this year. 12 families. We're going to commit ourselves to doing that. And you start thinking about there's 30 days in a month, most months, maybe 31, maybe 29. But there are at least 30 days for most months. One day, commit yourself to growing a relationship in this local congregation. You don't have to have them over to some special meal and just have them over. Have them over for dessert. Have them over in mid-afternoon. Invite them over. Commit yourself. And when you get that first no and they tell you no in January, you find some other time that year to hit them up again. Commit yourself to growing your relationship with your brethren here. I'm telling you, if we do this, there's twofold blessings that's going to come out of this. We as a collective body are going to be blessed. And when you get to your workplaces, you're going to have more joy on your face. You're going to be at more peace with your brethren here. You're going to feel closer. And that's going to have an effect on those that are lost. I'm telling you, I'm convinced of that. Let's move into the third point because it goes very neatly with that point. As we grow our relationships towards each other, we also need to seek to grow our relationships with those that are non-Christians. So three points we're talking about tonight. We're going to draw closer to God and Christ. We're going to become closer with each other. And we're going to become closer with those that are non-Christians. Now, as those people that we work with, we interact with on a daily basis, and our cup is overflowing, we long to be with each other as a collective body, face to face. As that joy begins to grow and increase, guess what's going to happen? Our courage to reach those that are lost is going to increase as well. You see the pattern that's going to happen here? I wish I had my PowerPoint up and going. I had this beautiful triangle up here. God was at the top, you were over here, and others were over here. And as we draw closer to God, right, as God's up here, as we're growing closer to God and others, because all of us are committing to growing closer to God, what's happening here? We're growing closer to God, but what's also happening? We're growing closer to each other, right? And so this joy is going to become an overabundant thing for us to deal with. We're going to have so much joy in our life that we've got to share it with others. Remember that song we used to sing? Love is something. If you give it away, you give it away. Love is something. If you give it away, you end up what? Everybody's just looking at. You end up having more, right? You see, as we look around, as 2018 rolls around, look around right now. As 2018 rolls around, we should see new Christians who are members here at Greenwood. Because you as an individual have grown your faith towards God. You've grown your faith and your relationships with each other as well. And you've sought opportunities to teach the lost. And I'll tell you, those opportunities will come and go. We might see some of those opportunities and it might not go so well for us, but we don't give up. Because see, our faith is grounded in our Lord. Goes back to the very first point that we talked about. Our relationship with our Lord is growing and is increasing, and that's what's important to us. All else is secondary. But our relationship with our God is strong. Our relationship with our brethren is strong. And so when we invite somebody and they say no, we're not discouraged. We don't give up. We don't say, well, I've asked them once. We keep shining bright. We keep living with joy that surpasses all understanding. And we seek those opportunities. And when those opportunities present themselves, we seize hold. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to those of the household of faith. Dear brother, dear sister in Christ, don't hide your light under a basket, but let it shine. Time for us hiding our lights needs to end. Our courage needs to increase, and our spiritual eyes need to open again. I believe what the Lord said. The field, the harvest is ready. Let's quit praying for opportunities, and that alone. Quit praying for opportunities. But we as Christians, let's quit praying just for opportunities. Let's start praying for eyes to see those opportunities. And let's start praying for courage to seize hold of those opportunities because they're there. Find a coworker this year. Just one person this year. I want you to think for just, I'm not a math scholar. We could have Becky come up or Nick, he's not here tonight, and give us a little math equation for this. I'm not a smart man, but I know if each and every one of us works on one person at work, if each and every one of us over the next 365 days, we pick one person, that one person obeys the gospel, how much bigger will we be as a local congregation? Let me rephrase that. How much bigger will the kingdom be because of our efforts with reaching just one person? You know we will double in size if each of us reaches one person. And let's face it, at the end of this 2018 year, if all of us commit ourselves to finding one co-worker, one person who is not a Christian, and commit ourselves wholeheartedly to being in that person's life and around them, and each maybe 3 or 4 days, send them a message of encouragement, invite them to your home, find opportunities to be a source of encouragement with them. If we as a collective body commit ourselves to doing that, and we reach one soul next year because of all of our collective workings, are we a success? Yes, we are. We are. So let's challenge ourselves this next year. Well, why wait till next year? There's still a few hours left in the day. Right, Brother Todd? Think about that one person. Send them a message tonight. Start that tonight. Maybe that person you're thinking about that's not a Christian is going to go down a road they should not go down tonight and party, and maybe you'll never see that person again. Send them a word of encouragement tonight. Call them. Tell them, you are on my mind. And I want you to know somebody cares about you. I'm telling you, that will go a long way. It'll go a long way for tonight. It'll go a long way for next week. And as you continue to work that opportunity, the sky is the limit. But maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're a person that doesn't, you don't feel you have the ability to teach that Bible class. Well, I would do that, but I'm afraid it might lead to a Bible study. Can I alleviate that stress off your shoulders right now? I will do that Bible study. You get it set up, and I will do it. I know there's other men in this group that will commit themselves to helping too. I know there's other ladies. Maybe you're a lady and you know somebody, but you're afraid, I might have to teach that Bible lesson. I know there are ladies here that are equipped and ready and able to step in with a minute's notice from you help that person who desperately needs the Lord in their life. Is it going to be hard? For some of us, it's going to be hard, isn't it? Because that's just not our personality. But it's not impossible, especially if we know that others in this group are doing the same thing. They're stretching themselves. And they're doing something that's not comfortable for them. I'll tell you what, if I ask Brother James, you're on next Sunday to preach the whole service. Does that scare you? Does that scare you? What if I told you there are going to be three other men to preach with you? You feel a little better about it? You do, don't you? See? We're all in this together. We are all going to stretch ourselves this year. You don't see me stretching myself, please call me on it. Because I know I'm committed to your relationship with your God, and I'm going to call you on it. Let's commit to grow this next year. In all of these aspects, towards our God, right? Towards our God, what was my second point? Ryan, what was it? Remember?
Teach others,
right? That was our last point, teach others, right? Reach out to those that are lost. Second point? Pray and what?
To each other.
Right, okay? Commit ourselves to each other, right? We do these three things. I promise you that we will grow individually and we will grow collectively. And I'm telling you, other people, other local congregations will take note that Greenwood is a group that's serious about growth. Are you in it with me? Okay, maybe I'll get a better response next time. Are you in it with me? Can we commit ourselves to doing these things? I hope and pray we can, Bradley. This next year holds a lot of opportunities. Which one of us? How many of us are going to take hold? I hope all of us. Even the young. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, why not become one? Why not allow God's Word to affect you in such a positive way that you respond to His Word? Maybe you like what you've heard tonight. We talked about a relationship towards our God. We talked about relationships towards our brethren. And we talked about relationships towards the lost. We hope tonight that if you are lost, that relationship will change. That you'll become my brother in Christ. The other Christians here, that you'll become their brother or their sister in Christ. That we can leave here tonight rejoicing that you are safe and sound in the arms of your Lord. But we can't make you. The decision's yours. We hope that you'll choose wisely. Seize the opportunity that God has granted you. If you are here and you're Christian, you've not been living right. You've not devoted yourself to the lost. You've not devoted yourself to the brethren. And you sure have not devoted yourself to God. You notice how I use that? If you haven't devoted yourself to the lost and to your brethren, you haven't devoted yourself to God. It's not there. You're not living right. And it's time for you, as a child of God, to get that right. If you'd like us to pray with you tonight, and we'll do so with tender and humble hearts, but most importantly, take that shortcoming to the Lord here and now. Here and now. And know that you'll forgive. And then from this moment on, live like God expects you to live. Together, we stand and sing. We can help you anyway. Come to the front. Or raise your hand while we stand and sing.